All right, y'all, welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Hashtag CB99 Talks. Of course, I'm Combo Breaker 99, and we are back. We are back with episode 100, y'all. Round 100. We are there, man. 100 episodes deep. I can't believe it, man. Been doing this for a little over 2 years now. Didn't ever think I would get the 100 episodes. I mean, you know, just been so busy taking care of things and, you know, just didn't know that people would want to be listening to the show like this. So I was like, you know, what point will I find something else to do? You know what I mean? I was just kind of like, oh man, like, you know, okay, started off with 30. And I was kind of like, okay, are people listening? Okay, we got some people listening. But now 40, 50, 60, on to 100 now. So yeah, man, back again, back for round 100. Since this was a special episode in a way, you know, I didn't just want to rush and do it. You know, it's been like 2 weeks since the last episode, but you know, I've been kind of busy. And I said, you know what? I want to do something a little different, not too different, but just definitely wanted to take my time with this one just to give you all a quality show. You know, so I took a couple of weeks and just said, you know, I want to sit back and talk some WMMA in general, you know, talk about some of the fights from this past weekend and also just talk about why I like WMMA and why I still talk about it. And then just, you know, hit y'all with some of the fighters that I follow today, you know, some of the WMMA fighters I follow today that I recommend for y'all to check out, you know, for the casual fans. But yeah, man, been doing this show for a little over 2 years now, and I still enjoy doing it. You know, I still enjoy doing it. Like I said, started off a little bit slower. You know, I was still trying to figure out the direction. You know, I talk boxing a little bit and WMMA, which I still do every now and then, but I got another outlet for that now as far as boxing. But for the most part, still kept it on track with WMMA conversation. You know, that's why a lot of y'all been coming over here, and I appreciate that. You know, always try to bring some good topics for y'all. Had some fighters on the show. You know, go check out some of those episodes where, you know, I had some UFC fighters on here and just some Invicta FC fighters and just some up-and-comers, you know. So we had some good chats, and I appreciate them coming through as well. Shout out to the fighters that came on to the show. But yeah, I'm looking forward to maybe bringing that back again. But as of right now, you know, I'm still just enjoying doing the show and having some of y'all come through, even on the live streams. And we can just talk, you know, we can just talk WMMA, because I think this is a part of the sport that just kind of goes unrecognized. You know, if it wasn't for the hardcore fans, you know, a lot of these women wouldn't really be getting shine, right? I think, you know, of course, my channel and just a few other channels out there are really some of the ones that are just really promoting these ladies, you know, whether we're being critical or we're giving praise. I think it's a necessity. So if some of the women might get offended by some of what I say or some other channels say, I think they need to just take it lightly and say, hey, at least they're giving me promotion, right? So I think we're needed. As long as you ain't bashing nobody, as long as we just bringing your name up in some type of way, I think it's necessary. So yeah, man, I'm gonna keep doing this thing. Like I said, as long as y'all keep listening and as long as y'all subscribe. So yeah, man, make sure y'all subscribe here to the YouTube channel, Combo Breaker 99, as well as iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. And that's where you can catch these episodes. And y'all can just kind of go back and listen to some of the interviews I've done and some of the other shows as well, man. But yeah, like I said, man, WMMA, you know, specifically WMMA, it's just been one of the sports or sub-genres of MMA that always just appealed to me. You know, some people said, why do you just like the women? Like, I don't just like the women, I like the men too. But it's something about the way the women approach it. You know, sometimes they approach it with a little bit more hunger, and some of the styles that they bring, because women and men are different, right? Men and women are still different. So I can actually see that difference, right? And it's actually a good difference, because, you know, I'm not gonna lie, like with boxing, I like both. I like men and women, but the men, they really bring that excitement, you know, technical skills, the barn burners, all of that, you know. But with WMMA, I think the women, they fight just as hard, but it's almost like in a different light. Like for some reason, just watching how they want to make this big statement and go in there and prove that they're just as good, you know, against other women, you know, I think something about that just excites me. I don't know what it is, but you know, I just really appreciate what they do. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's one of the reasons I got into it. Like I said, I've been watching it for a minute, since before Strike Force, when it was just like some underground grit. Just watching it on tapes where these local promoters was just putting out women fighting. I think some of these women were just coming out of the gym, off the street, and they were performing, you know. So it goes way back, man, almost like 17, 18 years now, you know what I mean? Like, so whenever Strike Force came along, you know, started, you know, getting into that, everybody from Marlos Conan, Gina Carano, Caitlin Young, you know, fighters I already talked about over here, you know, a lot of these women, you know, I followed a lot of them from the jump, you know. Even when I was in when I was going back to school for a little while, in the midst of doing homework, I was searching the web for like fights, and I came across Invicta. I can't even remember like how I fully came across Invicta, but I remember just tuning into it. I can't even remember how I was watching it. If it was like a pay-per-view screen back then, it was just on some other type of platforms. You know, I don't even think it was YouTube, but I remember pulling up the cards at night and just watching them. You know, like I remember the first card, the Invicta FC 1 card. And yeah, I can't remember. I was like watching it one night, just watching all the different fighters on there. I remember Edian Gomez, you know, Vanessa Porto, all these fighters. You know, matter of fact, let me go ahead and pull up one here, because I kind of want to go back here. Let me see. Invicta FC had both all those Conan and Chris Cyborg fights too as well, right? So, you know, that was something I was able to tune into back then, you know, which was, I want to say, what, over 10 years now, right? Yeah, the first card for Invicta FC was... let's see. Marlos Conan was the headliner. I want to say, hold on now. Yep, Marlos Conan and Romy Roussin. All right, so that goes all the way back to 2012, 10 years ago. Jessica Penne was on there, Liz Carmouche, and one of the fights that really, really put WMMA on the map for me was on this card. That was Leslie Smith and Caitlin Young. That was a that was an action-packed fight. It turned out to be a draw, but it was a great fight, man. These two, they really came to put it down. You know, I was already, like I said, following Caitlin Young and seeing her bring forth this action into this organization against, you know, another blood and guts warrior like Leslie Smith. It was fire, man. It was a fire card that night. Sarah DeLeo, all of them women, you know, Ashley Cummins. Then, you know, in the later card, you started getting fighters like Carl Esparza, Alexis Davis, Amanda Nunes, Rose Beck, Tisha Jojo. And that's where I, you know, first really started following MMA career fighters like Jojo, you know what I mean? So seeing her come on the map and put it down, and just seeing the strawweight division as a whole back then, you know, it was exciting to me. You know, before the Tough House, I was already like matching these ladies up back then. So, you know, it goes way back, man. It just goes way back for me. So yeah, I still appreciate it. And, you know, throughout the years, like I said, when I was just talking boxing, I was still watching a lot of this stuff just as much. And then I said, you know what? There's not very many channels out here. Only like one or two that really goes deep into it. So, you know, I said, I'm going to start doing the same type of reviews I do for boxing. You know, I want to start talking boxing the same way. You know, I had a podcast out with my man doing boxing. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do this the same way. I'm going to do this the same way for the women, you know, and I haven't turned back since, you know, So, you know, we're here now with episode 100. Gonna keep on doing it. Shout out to the fighters that just gonna keep on putting it down and keep giving me reason to do it, right? So yeah, man, that's what it is. Let me know in the comment section, you know, how y'all got into WMMA as well. I mean, there's always a story with me about it. Like, there's always a fight I can bring up, but that's just a, you know, condensed story for it, right? So yeah, man, some other things I want to talk about today. I want to go back to last week, discuss some of these weight misses and how I feel about it, you know, including Aspen Ladd, Maria Agapova. Let's talk about her a little bit. I want to pull up one of her interviews leading up to the fight with her and Jillian Robertson. I want to talk about Jillian Robertson as well and her talk of moving down to 115, right? Let's talk about that a little bit. GDR, gotta discuss that. Y'all know what it is, but we're going to really get into it when I get to that topic. Caitlin Chikagian, Manon Firo, what do these fighters have to offer in this fight? Like, how deep is this fight for the flyweight division? Let's talk about it. And then, big question a lot of people have been asking me, Valentina Shevchenko, when she's coming back, and when she comes back, who is she going to be fighting? All right. And the last topic, I want to just kind of go into some of the fighters I follow. You know, I just want to kind of show you some of the fighters I'm following today, the fighters I recommend y'all check out, some of the up-and-comers, and some of the ones just today. You know, like I said, if y'all are casual fans just tuning in, you know, just delve into the mind of Combo Breaker 99 a little bit. You know what I mean? I want to show y'all some of the fighters I follow, you know, from the lower organization up to the UFC, right? All right, man. So going back to last Saturday, it was an interesting card. You know, a bunch of catchweight fights. Too bad we don't have a fight card this week to kind of wash that one away. But past weekend, it was okay. You know, decent fights. You know, I won't say awful, but decent. You know, decent. And I'm talking about going back to, you know, going back to last weekend, you know, that the Sandhagen card. First off, you know, once again, we can't get a full card with the promised number of WMMA fights. Once again, that's why I said, you know what, I ain't gonna get my hopes up. We got what, 3-4 scheduled, and then we get down to 2 somehow. Somebody has to pull out because of an injury or because of the big one, the weight. And once again, with Aspen Ladd taking on Sarah McMahon at 135, turns out to be another issue with weight, right? And Aspen Ladd missed weight by a few pounds, right? Like a couple pounds. Stepped up there, like in what, 138? And fight got called off. You know, Sarah McMahon made weight. She was good, came onto the scale, made weight, seemed a little disappointed, but when it came down to it, she was like, you know, you know what, UFC's taking care of me, that's fine, you know, I'm still getting paid for it, I was professional, we can move on, hopefully she can come back to the octagon. So, you know, it's one thing to be taken care of, but still, you want that release, you want that chance to climb the ladder, right? As for Aspen Ladd, man, like I said, she's done missed weight like so many times, you know, going back to, I think, Invict FC, like I said, following her there when she was a flyweight. And there was a time when she had trouble making flyweight. Now she's having trouble making bantamweight. You know, I think it might be a discipline thing. Like I said, you know, she might just need to move up to 145, but it could just be a discipline thing with her too. Like, maybe she could make 135, but I think it's up to the UFC now to just go ahead and put that 145 division on lock. You know, I'm not going to really, like I said, go into it anymore about the division, but I will just keep bringing that up here and there because that's the only logic I see. Because on the card before that, you had Macy Chase on come in at 140. Irene accepted the fight, but, you know, I think even though it was at a catch weight, Macy Chason still was killing herself to make that weight. So even though she couldn't fully make 135 and stopped at 140, I think it still affected her performance, you know, because you could see that she was having success in that fight against Irene, you know. And I think that, you know, the trimming of the weight, and you know, the long miles that she's running, the sweating and the burning of the fat, cutting all this water weight, I think it really does make the body sensitive, you know, down to the chin. B Hop said it before, Bernard Hopkins, you know, he said like when Roy Jones shedded 25 pounds down to light heavyweight from heavyweight, it'll mess with your body. So from there, your chin won't be the same, you know, or body, it'll make it more sensitive. So I think the same thing could be like for Amanda Ibas too, shedding down to 115. So we'll see about her. But I think that happens with Macy Chason and for other fighters as well. So I think moving forward, you know, for Dana, he just needs to lock in a 145-pound division. Get the women that are having trouble making 135, get them to secure their spot at 145, lock in a ranking, and we can go from there. Hey, Bellator got a top seven now. They don't even have 10, so they could do the same thing here. Grab Stoyanko, Chandler, Ladd, Chason, Nunes, Dumont, Holly Holm, and maybe GDR when she returns. We'll talk about her, though. That's eight right there. You know, that's eight right there that would want to fight at bantamweight. Heck, even Kellen Berry might want to do it one day, as big as she is, you know. So you got eight or nine women right there. You know, you got eight or nine women right there. So I think it's just on the UFC to lock that in if they want to have success with more fights being made, more fighters showing up, more committing. But with that being said, with Aspen Ladd, it's been a number of times now. It's been a number of times. I'm not sure if she can go behind the scenes and say, hey, this weight ain't cutting. Hey, let's just do this fight at 145. Come on, Dana, let me do this thing at 145. This is killing me. You know, is she making that argument? Because at this point, Dana White at the presser, last presser, I think it was for a contender series. Somebody posted up on Twitter. I can't even remember. I tried to find it. But Dana didn't sound like he was very happy with Aspen Ladd. Like, he didn't even want to go into it. He was just like, it's not looking good. He was like, it's not looking good for her right now. You know, he kept it short and sweet. And I think he's something like he said they're going to deal with. So I don't know if Aspen Ladd might even have that chance to see a featherweight division, but it looks like she might be getting cut. You know, is it her fault? Partially, yes. And like I said, it's partially the UFC's fault for making a lot of these women have to cut down. Because even like I said, Macy Chason, somebody her size, 5'11", as big as she is, she can make that argument on camera. You know, that's what a lot of people do sometimes. You know, Jobs, they say, oh, everything's good, but it's not really good. You know, because even the look on her face when she says she has to run 40 miles a week, sounds like she's just trying to smile for the company. It's a company smile. That's what I like to call it, a company smile. When you just say, okay, everything's good, everything's good, everything's great. But deep down, you know it's not, because you're being mistreated. Of course, a lot of these fighters are blinded by the fame, the Monster Energy drinks, the promotion. But when they look at their pockets for real, and they look at their health for real, they start saying, you know what, this ain't adding up. But they still don't have enough muscle behind them to make that argument, right? So when I see Macy, it's like, she says you like to see more women going between 35 and 45. Is that really smart, though? Like, is that really wise? Like, to have your body jump up and down like that when you probably walk around at 160, 170? No. No. I mean, you might not admit it, but hey, I'm going to be one of the ones to go to bat and say, I don't want to see your performances watered down because of bad weight cuts, or you having to run 40 miles a week and focus more on sweating out the weight than where you can actually be focused on skills, sharpening your sword, right? So I think it's just a situation now where some, I think they're exempt, but for Aspen Ladd, she might be in a position right now where, yeah, they might be thinking of cutting her, but it should have been on her to make that argument that, hey, yo, featherweight is necessary at this point. Featherweight is necessary for us. That's, you know, thicker. We have this weight that comes on our bodies because we're different than men. You know, it comes down to really have, it comes down to the wire for us. We're nearly dying here. We're shedding this weight and killing our kidneys, right? So I think it's on them to just kind of speak up too at this point. Hey, I can only do so much, you know, and mine doesn't even add up to what they could do. That's how I see, you know. But we'll see. Even with Story Rango, Chelsea Chandler, you know, I think she's more featherweight herself, but hopefully she can get down to 135 without any health issues. Same with Story Rango. I hope she don't pass out on the scale again, but don't be surprised, you know, really don't be surprised. Yeah, but let me know what y'all think about that. Yeah, I think it might be it for Aspen Ladd. The way Dana White was speaking, I do. Yeah. One fight that did take place. Let's move on here. One fight that did take place that I want to talk about is the Agapova Robertson fight. And well, I already talked about the fight, but I just want to talk about the fighter separately here. Let's talk about Maria Agapova here a little bit, man. Maria Agapova, her last stand. Call it that. Not necessarily to say that she's on the chopping block fully or that she's going to be cut. It's not like I know anything or, you know, about her getting cut or anything like that, but I say it's her last stand because, you know, she has a lot going against her right now. You know, just a lot of things mentally, physically as well. And, you know, just as far as her image as a fighter, you know, I think a lot of people are starting to just see her as that fighter that talks a big game, has an image, but is missing out on some of the pieces. You know, they think she's missing out on a lot of these pieces because of the drama behind the scenes. You know, she's made a change to a new gym, but she's still got other things following her. You know, like she said, she's a demon slayer, but she still has other demons following her right now. You know, Agapova definitely had a rough end to her fight against G-Rob this past Saturday. And after seeing that fight, I was just like, wow, man, like that's just kind of add more fuel to the fire for the road that she's kind of been heading now. You know, she just seems like she's trying to stay up, but there's just a lot against her right now. You know, looking at her last interview right now, you know, Agapova, she's working as a bouncer and she's also, you know, dealing with an injury, and she had to fight this fight with an injury, right? And I don't think she was really making excuses. You know, I'm one to go on record here for Agapova and say, I don't think she was trying to make excuses. You know, she's just letting people know that she couldn't afford surgery, because she's said it in the past. You know, I used to talk to her in the past, and, you know, she said she had a rough time paying for certain things, you know, financial issues. And this is probably just one of those things, you know, where, you know, she's trying to make ends meet and she wanted to show up for a fight. And she said, you know, to do this, hey, I got to fight through even this serious injury I have. But let me pull up the interview here and we can talk about it. So let's see, Agapova to fight injured because she can't afford to pay for surgery. So this was before the fight. And honestly, to me, she did well. She did well for somebody that was injured, even in that first round. The thing that cost her the fight was actually just one of her weaknesses in general, you know, her kryptonite in general. But she didn't look like a bad fighter in there. She was actually having success against Julian Roberts. Okay, so one of the things she said here is, it's still bad and I still need surgery. So after my fight, I'll do the surgery but my life situation is very bad right now. That's why I can't go to surgery before this fight. I work as a bouncer right now at the club, and no one gives a S about me, honestly. After I got hurt and my sponsor didn't want to sign with me, I just got bouncer work and I'm working with an injury. I've got to fight with an injury and I believe in myself. I believe I can win still with this injury. I want to do this and not just give people free stuff for myself anymore. I got to this point because I helped a couple of losers. I was helping making them successful, but no, it doesn't work like this. I became a loser because I tried to help losers. I just got broke and I had to work all of my camp like a bouncer, but this still helped me because I feel a regular person life, doing a regular person job and earning regular person money. All right. And that's what it is. Sometimes you just need that humble train. like a regular person job and a regular person money is still better than struggling in that position that she's in. You know, somebody that just wears a UFC jersey, but you ain't got no money. I'd rather make regular person money all day long and be a regular person than just be somebody that's almost being pimped out. You know what I mean? Just somebody that's wearing the UFC jersey, but I ain't got the money or the accomplishments to back it up. I don't want that. I don't want to just be out here advertising somebody else's company and I'm not getting paid or covered and I'm walking around with an injury, you know? So good on her. You know, she's got a taste of that humble train. Cause like I said, you know, she was out there always trying to seem like she was the bad girl, the bad image, hanging with the wrong people. And now she's learning her lesson, right? She's still young though. She'll learn. But her fighting through the injury, man, it was a knee injury. Yeah, her knee injury that she picked up in a training camp. You know, that's tough. That could be a career-ending injury. So for her fighting through that, you know, I commend her. At the same time, I wouldn't recommend her do that anymore in the future. But she actually looked good. Like I said, we go back to the fight. She fought well against Jillian Robertson the first round. She did what she did against Marina Monroe. She was using a lot of good strikes, elbows. I think she used range well and angles as best as she could to extend that left hand. But like I said, you know, Jillian Robertson is such a go-getter, even though she's one-dimensional, that if you have any weakness, she will continue to storm forward until she gets to you. And that's kind of what it was. Like, the fight necessarily wasn't one-sided here. You know, Agapova did win a round, but it was when she got simply taken down in the second round. When she got taken down in the second round, you could kind of see she went down easy, so it must have been the knee. But when it got down there, man, it was vicious. You know, it was all Jillian. I mean, Jillian just put the choke on her, put the squeeze on her, and once again, you know, that's just another thing that you just can put on Agapova's resume as far as another humbling experience, you know, and at the same time, just reality, right? So whatever demon she has, you know, I think she just needs to really work on that. You know, I, like I said, I wish her the best. I think she's a fighter that just kind of needs to focus on her instead of, like she said, taking care of other people. You know, just say, hey, fight game is just me. You have a team, but nobody's going to take care of you when you're injured. You got to take care of yourself. That's what it is, you know. So if you have an injury, hey, you need to make that sacrifice and say, let me get this money. And then tell wherever you're working at as a bouncer, tell them, hey, you know what? You ain't paying me enough. I got to take care of me. You know, I got to take care of this injury, because the path I want to go and be a fighter, that's the one I really need to focus on right now. You know, so hopefully she can get that squared away. It's just a lot going on. Like, you know, she says she's went broke and putting money into other things, I guess. I think it's just a matter of direction and being around the right people at this point, you know, because it's translating into the fight. It's translating into the fight. You can see it every time mentally, the way she starts off strong. And then when somebody gets scrappy with her, they just pull her down and she succumbs, you know. So she need to be around stronger people, because Jillian Robertson, I can say she's one dimensional all day, hasn't improved too well in her striking, but she still has a good team around her that believes in her, and she never quits in a fight. That was the difference between these two. One might have more skills, but the other is a specialist that never quits, never stops believing in herself, right? So yeah, man, hopefully Agapova can get it together. Let's see. She said, of course, I appreciate my money that I get from the UFC more this time, because I realize that not a lot of people make money like I do. I'm making really big money in the UFC. Next time I have to invest and manage my money well. I shouldn't help people that I barely know show up in my life when I'm good and have my money with some pity story. I feel bad for them. Okay. So she's one of them people that feels bad for somebody that comes on. But no, as an individual and as a fighter, if you make good money in the UFC and you no, your situation isn't the best. You need to take care of you first, right? Take care of you first and then those around you. So Gavava, gotta get it together, man. excuse me, man. She just has to understand that it kind of is her last stand, because even though they haven't talked about cutting her, she's on a 2-fight losing streak right now. She's dealing with an injury. She's in a job that she doesn't want to do. So she needs to get with some people that can guide her, put her back on the right track, and keep it moving. Keep it moving in the UFC, because yeah, you make really good money there, big money in the UFC compared to what you're making as a bouncer, but you got to do the work to keep it. And that's where you got to cut certain things off, cut certain people off, cut certain, you know, jobs that are mistreating you off, all of that. Sacrifices have to be made, you know. And, you know, like I said, there's only so sorry I can feel for a lot of people. I mean, you know, when you have the resources around you, you have to take advantage. But if you start getting overconfident and start feeling yourself and you just think it's always going to be there, it's hard to feel sorry for a person like that. Not saying that's her situation, but that's just how I think sometimes. It's like you're surrounded by a lot of good sources, sponsors. All you need to do is stay sharp. Keep your mind sharp. Keep it on the game, or it will be your last stand. Okay? So, yeah. Agapova, get it together. Keep it moving. You know, start winning. You know, that's the number one thing you got to do is start winning. You know, and that's the only way you're going to keep that money coming at this point. All right. So let's jump to her opponent from Saturday night real quick. Jillian Robertson. Shout out to Jillian Robertson. Vicious RNC from Jillian Robertson. Once again, I mean, Molly McCann, Priscilla Cachoeira, now Agapova. Like I said, Jillian Robertson doesn't have the greatest stand-up, but doesn't even have the greatest takedowns, but it's how she takes you down. It's how she wears on you if you let her wear on you, right? And she seems to have success with it at 125 against certain type of opponents, but it's only gotten her so far because she's still unranked. She didn't just break a 2-fight losing streak, right? Because she beat Cachoeira, lost to JJ Aldridge, and now she beat Agapova. So there's a certain level of fighters. If you look at the pattern, certain level of fighters that she can beat, right? So if you study that pattern, I can kind of see why the talk of strawweight probably came up for it, right? So she said this, look, when they asked when she wanted to return to the octagon, she said, I heard there's a card December 3rd in Orlando, Florida. I think that's supposed to be like the first card in Orlando or first card in Florida, I think. I think it is. Correct me if I'm wrong. She said, I never fought in the UFC in Florida yet. So that ain't the first card. No, I'm so sorry. I was thinking of something else. Definitely not the first card. She said, I never fought in the UFC in Florida yet. So that'd be an awesome opportunity. Maybe someone in the strawweight division. My coach has been kind of pushing for it. And I'm a little on edge about a move to strawweight, but I've definitely been walking a lot smaller than I used to. And it's definitely an opportunity I'm looking at right now. Okay. So it's something she's looking at, and it's something her coach is looking at. Probably when he sees her in the gym, how she moves, how strong she is, just her overall physique. He's probably thinking, you know what? Looking at these other girls that she's fought at 125, Miranda, Tyler, JJ, the girl she was matched up with, Melissa Gatto, he's probably thinking, man, these girls are huge. Look how she's getting handled against these girls. You know, she's kind of smaller. Maybe with the right diet, she could get down to 115. That might be where she needs to be at, because her grappling could hang with these girls. That's probably her coach's way of thinking, right? So she's probably thinking that too as well now, you know, thinking, okay, well, I still haven't broken to the top 15, top 10 yet. And yeah, if you look at my pattern here, this is a strong grappler heavy division. And if I don't have the physical strength to hang with these girls, it could just be the same thing over and over. I could beat this level, the Gapovas, the Molly McCanns, the Cachoeiras, but I can't beat these bigger, stronger, well-rounded fighters, you know? So thinking of that, she probably would want to take a chance, right, at 115. So my thoughts on that, well, for one, I don't necessarily think with Jillian Robertson, it fully is a size thing. I don't think it's fully like a size thing with her. I think it might be more of a strength and skill thing. I think it's a strength and skill issue more than a size issue. Because Jillian Robertson, let me see here, compared to some of these girls, even like JJ Aldridge, not that big, but it's still not that small. Like, Jillian is 5'5". It's pretty tall for her. That's a good size, you know, good height. I know her frame is not that big, but think about it. If she was able to put more well-rounded skills together, like, she's a little taller than Miranda Maverick. I know Miranda Maverick's a little thicker. You know, she's a little bit more built. She's muscular, physically strong too. But imagine if Jillian Robertson put that type of strength together. Maybe not that type of muscle if she can't, but if she started fighting with more of that type of pace of becoming more physical strength-based, you know, adding more strength into her workouts and building that type of muscle, she'd have more success. I think so. You know, but if they're just moving forward, looking at her physique now and how she moves, 115 would probably look good to them. You know, at 115, how would she fare? It's hard to say because we don't know how the weight cut would be, right? I know she says she's walking around smaller, so it might not be as tough. But when you think about it, remember now, I always say this in these videos about these divisions. 125 is more grappler heavy, you know, the stronger, mauling tight women, wrestlers. 115, you would get a lot of small women. A lot of fast women, a lot of striking based fighters. And what is Jillian Roberts's weakness? Not just fighting, but performing. Strikers, you know, strikers. I think she has trouble with strikers, you know, and I think she still has trouble with the fundamentals. You know, that's something she needs to get down. Like 115, you're gonna be dealing with a lot of smaller women that she could probably handle it on the ground, but you're gonna be dealing with faster girls, you know, just looking at the bottom ranks. You know, you're looking at girls that can move with better timing, the Sam Hughes, the Bellissimus, Cheyenne Bellissimus, Angela Hill. I'm just moving up the rankings here. Tisha Torres, all of these girls that can move, you know, all of these women that can move their hands and been working on their takedown defense. They're strong in the clinch. Like, even Tisha Torres is strong, like, at this weight. Like, Jillian Robertson's not really known for physical strength. So even at 115, even though she's taller, I see somebody like Tisha Torres overpowering, or at least, you know, fighting her takedowns off. How she drags you down, she can survive that. Going back to Angela Hill, strong now. Like, she's looking stronger. And her striking is no joke. You know what I mean? Like, you could pull on her all day now, but with those tie clinches and the way she's able to turn now, she's been working on that in her training. Her jab is on point. When she lets her hands go, just think about that. And then they're gone. You know what I mean? They move. They're quick. So that's something Jillian Robertson has to think about. Like, moving down to 115, yeah, you're smaller. Yeah, you might have a better chance because, you know, your jiu-jitsu is, you know, better than a lot of girls. You're scrappy on the ground. When you get down, you can just pull off these submissions because you're quick. But there's still a lot of women that are just as good, even down here, that are quick and thin and they're flexible. You know, you got these young black belts coming into the game now, you know. So Tabitha Ricci's, you know, like these type of fighters, where Tabitha Ricci, I think, of course, her record's not as proven on the ground yet, but she's a black belt too. So it's dangerous with her on the ground. On striking level, her and Jillian Robertson ain't too far off, really. You know what I mean? So those are a lot of things to, you know, consider, which I know she's thinking about, you know, just looking at the matches. Like, I'm gonna deal with a lot of fighters that are gonna be pumping their jab out my face, a lot of striking base fighters, you know, even on the lower level. So that's something to consider. So for me personally, I really don't think it's a 115 thing or like a weight thing. I think if she polished her hands up, committed more to the jab, committed more to her kicks, like she should have in this fight, even like some of the head kicks she was throwing out, she just kind of throwing a lot of head kicks out. A lot of head kicks, you know, tossing them up, but they really weren't on the mark. I think if she starts committing to that stuff, she's going to become more dangerous, a lot more dangerous, because some of these fighters out here, they can't handle this type of well-roundedness if you have it. You know, let's look at it like Charles Oliveira, excellent submission practitioner, but when it comes down to his hands, he's got pop. He's got some pop. He can put punches together. So I'm thinking like Jillian needs to go up under somebody's wing like Oliveira and learn how to commit to hands, throw your opponents off. Like if you're not really good at your wrestling and pulling fighters down, start committing more to kicks, punches. That way you can drop people, you know, drop opponents, or feint them like you're going to drop them, or feint them like you're going to throw a punch, and boom, you take them down. It's textbook stuff, you know what I mean? So I'm just saying, like, I want to see her more at 120, more so 125 than 115, because I think if she puts those elements together, she could get into the top 15. You know, the hands, the kicks, the wrestling. When she puts those three things in there, she could make top 15. I don't want to see 115 as just like an out, because this is the level of skill she's on, right? I don't want to see Jillian Roberts say, okay, this is my basic skill level, and I don't think it's going to compete at 125, so let's go to 115 and use it here. So you're going to use the same exact skills there, but the women are just as dangerous because they're committed to hands and they're faster and they're smaller. You know, takedown defense is on point over here. So I think it's more so just her adding more to her game. And I mean, the evidence is there. Like I said, got a lot of wins, but the losses you have are against very well-rounded fighters. You know, it has nothing to do with weight. Once she starts becoming more well-rounded and it puts more pop in her shots, you'll see her hanging with more of these ladies. Like I said, if she just puts some of the things together, like the Andrea Lee skills, but actually executes, you can see her in there for sure. I think so, you know, but that's all on her. She wants to execute, right? So let me know what y'all think, guys. All right. So moving on, let's jump up two weight classes here. I'm gonna make it quick on this one, just so y'all know. Y'all been wanting to know. I posted it up already, but y'all want to talk about on the podcast. Here we go. Where's GDR at? Where is GDR? Everybody's been asking. Y'all know where she's at. GDR. We've been wondering where you at. First of all, we thought it might have been the C-19. Thought you got fed up and, you know, didn't want to come back over, didn't want to get the vaccine, so you retired. Thought you didn't really just want to fight anymore, just want to focus on your job, and that was it, right? But no, GDR is now carrying a bun in the oven. That's right, GDR is expecting. She is having a baby, y'all. I posted it up here on IG, and you know how it is. I mean, look, to each their own when it comes to individual life. Some people got offended when I posted it. Y'all knew GDR was, you knew GDR had a girlfriend. Let's just keep it real now. Y'all knew that she had a girlfriend. Same with Amanda Nunes. You know, she married, she has a baby. So why is this something offensive to people now? Like I said, to each their own. You know, it's not, you know, to each their own, right? And I'm not here to do what other people think I'm doing is promoting this and that. No, I'm just saying, look, this is GDR. She's starting a family now. You want to know where she's at? Here she is. I want to know where she's at? Here she is. GDR is expecting that. She's expecting with her girlfriend. She's pregnant. And that's just where she's been now. So, you know, I thought it was so many other things, but now we know. Let me go ahead and pull up her Instagram here too. I'll read through it here because it'll kind of give us a timeline on when she might come back, right? So Iron Lady MMA said, look, we can finally scream it from the top of our lungs. We are pregnant. We are blessed with our little miracle expected March 2023. All right. So GDR is expecting to have that baby March 2023. Congratulations to her and her partner. You know, that's something she's always wanted. And I'm glad that she has it. So, yeah. For the fight game, that definitely means that GDR is not coming back summer 2023. Maybe the end of 2023 at best, but you know she's going to be taking some time off now. She's going to be taking that time off because unlike Nunes, I think, going by the picture that you've seen on IG, she's carrying the baby. You know, Nina Ansaroff carried the baby in Nunes' relationship. So, you know, Nunes can come back anytime. But GDR is going to be carrying and it's expected in March. So having the baby in March, taking some time off, you know, mental break, physical break, combine that with finding an opponent and training, probably won't see GDR until late next year, winter of 2023, or maybe the next year. But it's time for it now. You know, it's time. You know, she's at the age where, you know, she does have a career. You know, she's already won a belt. She's done things in the UFC as a fighter, faced the best fighters anyway. So this is probably the perfect time for her to do it now. You know, this is the time she wants to get it in because she's 38 years old, y'all. 38. Remember that. This ain't like she's, you know, 25, 26. So some of the things that she wants to go back and do, you got to get in now, especially when you already accomplished some of the things you wanted to accomplish in the UFC, right? And again, you already have a job too. So it's going to come down to her saying, you know, what's more important, the family and what I already have, or going back into the spotlight just to please the fans. It's going to come down to the family thing, right? So yeah, shout out to GDR. You know, like I said, you know, some people were posting. I think that's why, you know, yeah, some people were just like going crazy on when I posted this one. I was like, man, you know, like, hey, just wish her the best, man. Like, she just want to start a family. That's all it is. Because, you know, it's something she always wanted to do. You already knew she had a partner. You know, she dating a woman. So it's like, eventually they're going to want to have a family. I mean, that's what it is, right? So, yeah, GDR not returning. Guess we won't be getting the Sarah McMahon fight anytime soon. And we won't get my classic fantasy matchup anytime soon. GDR versus Valentina Shevchenko, right? That ain't happening anytime soon, but hey, it's all good. Congrats to the Iron Lady. All right. Okay. Let's jump on this fight here. Y'all know what it is. All right. We over here promoting this fight. Combo Breaker 99, CB99 Talks is promoting the heck out of this fight. Because WMMA needs it, all right? They need all the promotion they can get, and we are promoting the heck out of this possible title eliminator taking place Saturday, October 22nd, UFC 280. I'm going to break it down for you. Caitlin Chikagian versus Manon Fiorot. Not breaking the whole fight down now, but I just want to get into it again with y'all. We can talk about it because just looking at every dimension of this fight and the dynamics of this fight, this is a very, very interesting fight for both fighters here. You know, even more so for Manon, of course, because this is her first big, big fight, you know, against a former title. And I won't say, because Jennifer Maia was a former title challenger. This is the second former title challenger, second common opponent of Valentina Shevchenko going on Manon's resume now. But yeah, it's more of a interesting fight for her, you know, because Caitlin Chikagian, you know, she's been here time and time again. But I think going into this one, you know, both are going to have a lot to offer. Even Chikagian this time around, I think she's going to have a lot to offer. You know, first off, you know, I watched the interview with James Lynch. We talked about it, you know, different things people picked up off of the confidence of Manone. But just looking at Caitlin Kigg and training and, you know, following her on Instagram as well and going back and looking at her fights, you know, I can really say that, you know, she's bringing a lot to the table here. Well, she is. She's a dangerous opponent for Manone, not in the fashion of Andrade, but Caitlin Kigg is bringing some very interesting dynamics into this fight that she hasn't seen before, you know, just dealing with a very cautious, safety first type fighter. Now, Caitlin can be hit, you know, she's not the fastest, but the way she approaches her fights, you know, she's very safety first and cautious compared to the other fighters because her style is, you know, point based. You know, she loves to go in there and outpoint her opponents and stay ahead and, you know, stay slick and do a lot of tricks, you know, just to kind of break her opponents mentally. And I don't think a lot of people pick up on that, but Caitlin really breaks her opponents mentally, not in a fashion like Valentina, but to the point that they kind of question themselves in there. You know, some of her opponents question themselves. You can see it because they're not pulling the trigger as much. They're not going in there taking as many chances. They're staying on the end of her punches or her kicks. So, you know, going into this fight, that's something that Manone has to be aware of. You know, the IQ is high on Chikig. The IQ and safety comes first. So for somebody like Manone going into this fight, you know, she has to understand that we got to break that wall early. We can't respect her. You know, that's the first step, I think, to getting through, to getting a finish like Manone wants to do. Because, you know, on one side, you got Caitlin doing her thing and always committed to it. But on the other side, you got Manone. Her game plan is to finish, right? But in order to finish, you know, Manone really has to push Chikagan out of that realm and disrespect, right? And I say that and I press that more because there's really no danger of being knocked out with Chikagan, right? And only the high level pound for pound fighters understood that task, like Shevchenko and Andrade. They knew Chikagan couldn't hurt him. They see the fast hands, they saw the angles, they said, you know what, forget all that. I'm imposing my will. And for Manone to step into that realm, she's got to be the imposer that she has been in our, you know, her early fights, early on, you know. No, I mean, don't go in there with your chin out, but you've got to go in there with the game plan to say, I can stand with this girl. I can close distance. I can push this woman back and she can't push me back. Same way Andrade did, you know. Chikagan had success with her hands a little bit, but Andrade never stopped coming because she said, you know what, I can't let her get into a groove. And that's where a lot of people make a mistake with Chikagan. They let her get into a groove. You know, she can move. She can move on her feet. She faints. She can move her upper body, you know. And while she's moving, she's popping off shots. So breaking a rhythm is very important as far as being dominant. You know, never let your opponent get into any type of rhythm. To be dominant, if you invade their territory, you can't give them time to set up their bombs and their guns. You know, you have to push forward with your tanks and everything that you believe is better. You know, Manone says her cardio and her physical strength is better. You're powerful. You're more powerful. Well, let's see it. You know, you got to go in there and tank this girl. You know, you got to go in there and make every shot count, but not waste it. Timing is important in this fight. Same way Valentina would catch with a spinning back fist when they take it to the ground. You know, when she was in that guard, she Valentina controlling that head a little bit, you know, with head control, then boom, catching with forearms and elbows, cut her in the first round, right? So the same thing Manone has to do here. You know, Manone has to separate herself from Arujo, Jessica I, Amanda Ibas, JoJo, Lauren Murphy, Irene Aldana. You got to separate yourself from all of them fighters, Jennifer Maya, and get into that realm with Andrade and Shevchenko. And I think that's what she meant in the interview. Like, Manone is holding herself to the Valentina standard. You know, she said, I got to go in there with a plan to stop her. You know, if I don't stop her, if I only win by decision, I might need another fight. And I think that's punishment for her. It's talk, but at the same time, it's setting a standard. You know, some people see it as lack of confidence, which I don't. I see it as Manon wanting to be better, not just wanting to say, oh, I'm going to knock this girl out. But no, she's saying to herself, like, anything less than a stoppage, I should be punished for, right? Because her plan is to win the belt, is to do what Valentina did or something in similar fashion. But at the same time, it's about doing better. You know, you want to match them. You want to match them or do better. Basically, you want to do better because you want the belt, right? Because if you don't, it's going to be 50-50, right? So Manon's mindset is to go in there and get the finish. And if she doesn't, maybe one more fight. But we'll see about that for real. Like, because even if she dominated, I'm sure she'd probably want to move on. Like if she 30-27, 30-26, she'd probably be like, you know, I'm moving on. This girl is just tough, right? But I think with what Manon has and what she possesses, there should be no reason for her to find a stoppage. I think it's how she approaches the fight. Like if she tries too hard, like when you look for the knockout, no, you don't. It doesn't come. Andrade can look for it because she's always got the physical strength and power. But Valentina didn't necessarily look for it. Valentina looked to dominate. And then it came. She broke her down. So that same thing can be said for Manon. Look for it. And it'll come to you, you know? So yeah, this fight offers a lot of dimensions. That's why I'm just talking about it until it happens. You know, we're going to talk about it. I'll do my full on keys to victory for it somewhere, you know, next week or something. But yeah, Manon has her plans, but you know, you can't count Caitlin Chikagan out. You know, Caitlin has a lot to offer in this fight. She's number one contender on a 4-fight win streak. I can't remember who it was in the chat. They said she was the, Robert Whittaker of the division right now, which she kind of is. She never had the belt, but you know, she will lose to the champ and move on and go on these win streaks. Yeah, but right now, yeah, this is a good win streak. She's on 4-fight win streak since Andrade lost 2 years ago. You know, she lost to Andrade. She beat Calvillo, Arujo, Jennifer Maya second time, close fight with Ibas. So, yeah, she's racking wins up, man. So, if she wins this, you know, whether you like it or not, Caitlin might get another title shot. That's 5 in a row for her. That'll be 5 in a row for her. Then you got to give her credit. She fought 4 times in 2020 as well. So, Chikagan's, she's a busy bee. I mean, not just in the hands, but just in general, man. She's definitely one of my favorite fighters as well. But, you know, I just want to see Manon pull this off because, you know, Manon is a beast right now. And I want to see new blood. So when it comes down to picking, got to ride with Manon. But if Chikagan was to win, I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't, you know. Well, what do y'all think, man? A lot to offer from both fighters. Like I said, you know, there's just so much going on here with Chikagan that could offset Manon and make her look bad. You know, we've seen it in the past, but I think Manon has it, though. If I'm thinking right, Manon should be able to go in there and beat a beast and do what Ibas did times 10. All right. So, yeah, so many things to talk about with this one, but it'll just always have to be, you know, in another video. I'll go on and on about this fight, right? You know, anything else that needs to be said for now? No, man, Chikagan's just, you know, Chikagan is just Chikagan, and when you let Chikagan beat Chikagan, that's when she wins. So when you go in there, you just have to stop all rhythm, stop all chances of her work rate, go in her, you know, be in her chest, work the body, and be aggressive on her because she's a point fighter. You know, you got to take a point fighter out of their rhythm. Don't give them any type of space. And Manon has those tools to do it. I believe that. In no way she ain't not confident either. You know who I'm talking to. You know who I'm talking to. But yeah, man. Let me know what y'all think about this topic as well. So we can move on here. And speaking of number one contender, brings me to this topic. As some folks asked me about this specific this specific question came up a few times, and I've been meaning to get around to it. I probably already have a video recorded by now, but let's do it in this podcast episode. So a few of y'all asked me, when is Valentina Shevchenko coming back? When does it seem like she's coming back? And if she does, who will it be? Right? Well, first off, we got to look at the timeline of the fighters. We got to look at the timeline of the fighters, who's fighting, who's going to be ready, who's not ready, and who's left. Who's left in the division, right? Who's left for her to take on? All of this has to be considered. So, number one question, when will Valentina return to the cage and who will it be? Well, first off, unfortunately, I don't think the Bullet's coming back this year. The Bullet is not coming back this year. I don't think so. She won't be making a comeback until, she won't be making her comeback in November or December. So scratch that. All y'all Bullet fans, no. Ain't coming back in November, December. Her return is probably going to be no later or no earlier than February or March. Why? Well, let's look at the rankings right now. I mean, let me go ahead and pull up the rankings and we can look at it, because February or March is what it's looking like. You can say Valentina's ready now, but who's ready for her? Looking at the rankings, 1 through 8, Jennifer Maia's already been beaten. Manon is number 7, and she has a fight coming up in October. Number 6 is Viviana Rujo, fight in October with Grasso, who's number 5. Jessica Andrade, no. Lauren Murphy, no. Tyler's a no. Caitlin's taken against Manon. So the Tyler's, the Lauren's, the Andrade's, they're not even lined up to fight anymore. Santos, injured, just fought Valentina. Valentina already stated that fight's not going to happen, right? And with the injury that Tyler Santos suffered, she's no way she's coming back in December. Right? Same with Lauren Murphy. She's not ready for a title shot again. Andrade, you know, she's still wondering what, she's coming off an injury herself. She had to pull out of the Manon fight. So that leaves the 4 fighters, Caitlin taking on Manon, Alexa, and Vivian, right? So with those 4 fighters, 1, 5, 6, and 7, they're all lined up in October. There's no way they're going to be prepared for Valentina in November, December. This is a tough fight for all 4 of these ladies, right? Arujo Grasso, whoever wins the fight, will not come back 1 month later in a championship fight or 2 months later in a championship fight after they done fought against one of the best in the flyweight division. Whoever wins that Grasso Arujo fight, they're not coming back 2 months later or the next month. I'm going to fight Valentina in 2 to 3 weeks. What kind of sense does that make? Same with Chikagian and Manon. Chikagian may not be the hardest hitter, but she's a mentally draining fighter. So do you think she's going, Manon or Chikagian is going to say, oh yeah, I'm ready for the title in 2-3 weeks or end of this year? Let's cap it off. Let me get one half a week of training in for the best fighter in the world, right? So no way, man. Like, just look at the top 10, top 7 right now. There's no way that they're going to be prepared to fight Valentina at the end of this year, even if she wanted to come back. And I don't think she wants to come back bad enough to fight Lauren or Santos Andrade again. So even in her mindset, she's already got it. Like, you know what? I'm going to wait. I'm cool. Just give me time to chill. I probably won't be back till spring, you know, February or March. And that works out. That works out well, right? You know, gives everybody a chance to fully train. For whoever it is. Now, who will it be? It's kind of hard to say. It really is, even if you look at going by the rankings. I mean, it's hard to say because I'm thinking Chikagian versus Manon winner. But with Grasso and Arujo being a main event now, which, let me pull that up. Let me pull that up for y'all real quick. Arujo, Grasso is a main event for October 15th, the week before the Manon Chikagian fight. It's a 5-round main event. So with that fight being a 5-round main event, it kind of looks like a setup to see who gets the title shot. I'm just being honest. It really does. You know, it's a 5-round fight, and they're pushing this as a headliner with two new faces that Valentina hasn't seen versus the Manon Chikagian fight. That was a 50-50, right? Because Chikagian's been there, Manon is new. But this one's 100% new. This one's 100% new for Valentina. So I think they're kind of pushing this one because this one is a week before as well. But I think it's really going to come down to who looks the best out of their win, out of this fight and that fight. Now, on paper, that's what it looks like to me. Promotion-wise, it looks kind of like this is what they want to push, Grasso or Rujo, because Grasso is a little bit more popular. Arujo's a new face, and she's got some dangerous things going for her. You know, that would be interesting in a Valentina fight, right? So look at it in that perspective. They may be, what, 5-6, but the other fight makes more sense because it's Manon taking on Chikagian, who's number one. That's for the number one contender fight. Chikagian's already on a 4-fight win streak, right? One more for her to give her a rematch. And if Manon can beat the number one, that's considered a title eliminator, right? So either one of those, it's going to come down to, I think, politics more so. Money and attraction. That's what it's going to come down to, how they're going to decide, I think. And if Manon's word holds any weight, like if she does decision Chikagian in a fashion that she doesn't like, and she wants one more fight, then that'll kind of guarantee Grasso or Rujo the winner, right? That'll guarantee the winner of that fight the title shot. So a lot of things to kind of consider here. Valentina's going to have at least two to choose from here. She'll have two to choose from. But like I said, I can't rush Valentina back, you know, or think she's trying to chill, like some people are saying, because she's not that type of fighter. Remember, she just started off fast because it was a brand new division. Everybody was fresh and they were lined up. So you just go down the list. But eventually when you knock off all the people, it's going to slow down, right? And you're going to have to wait for the next fighters that, you know, establish themselves, right? So there's going to be that period. You go through one, when you knock off 1-6 or 1-7, you got to wait for the division to make its transition until something new grows, right? But right now, I really can't answer the second question. The first question for sure. The first question for sure. Valentina's not coming back till next year, like in the spring. As far as who it's against, we know it's between those four fighters. That's all we know. Because like I said, for one, it could be the Grasso or Rujo because of it being a main event. And maybe they push Grasso a little bit more. But the logical one would be Chikagian and Manon, because that's the number one contender fight. And the number one contender has a nice 4-fight win streak right now, right? So, yeah, you guys let me know what y'all think, though. I know for sure, yeah, Valentina's not coming back 2023, though. She's not coming back 2023. I just don't know who against. Either one, I'll take either one at this point. Because everybody's pretty much a new face except for one, and even that one has earned it again, right? So yeah, let me know, y'all. Okay, so last topic here, which, you know, like I said, this doesn't really have anything to do with anything big or any news, but I just kind of want to go through, you know, some of the fighters I look at today. You know, like I said, this is the 100th episode, and WMMA has been growing. It's definitely been growing slowly, because we still have a lot of fans of MMA that don't really enjoy it like I do, but it definitely has grown. It definitely has grown. And me being me, like I said, I just don't watch the UFC. I don't just watch UFC. That's what a lot of casual fans, they miss the bus on WMMA, because they just follow the UFC and maybe Bellator to a lesser extent. But for me, I'm looking at everything from Cage Fury, LFA, Warrior, was it Titan FC, all of that, LFA, Invicta FC, PAWFC, which is new. I'm looking at all them organizations. So, you know, I'm seeing fighters before you actually see them in the UFC. But I just kind of want to go through some of the fighters, you know, that I enjoy watching, some of my fan favorites. You know, I thought I'd do that for y'all since the 100th episode. Like, who does Combo watch? Well, y'all know some of them. But who do I have my eye on right now? Who do I enjoy watching? Who do I think is an exciting fighter? And who do I think is going to make it? Like, some might not be all of the above, but some are just exciting. Some are just, I just enjoy it, you know? So I'm going to, you know, just kind of browse through here. I got a list of fighters, so I'm going to just go down the list with y'all real quick, man. This young fighter, I covered one of her fights on a Fight Companion. Fatima Klein. Fatima Klein, heard me mention that name a few times. Fatima Klein, this is a very, very dangerous young strawweight. Only 22 years old. She's only 2-0, so I'm not, you know, going overboard saying she's like this champion yet. But from what I'm seeing, you know, from watching her on the jiu-jitsu scene, she's very, very keen on not just being a jiu-jitsu practitioner, but she wants to be an MMA fighter. I've seen her grapple, but what I've seen in her first two fights, she's very, very open to being well-rounded and growing. Like, this girl's got hands. She has got hands. I mean, when I've seen her early grappling matches, I was like, you know, she's very good grappler, but how's she going to transition to MMA? First two fights in, man, this girl is dangerous. She is very dangerous, man. Like, she really has a killer instinct, but she also has a good stand up early on in this part of her career. You know, she's definitely working her hands, learning to throw, getting takedowns off of feints with her hands, with her striking. And when she gets you to the ground, she's aggressive, you know, ground and pound, softens you up, looking for those submissions, but still just being dominant. So Fatima Klein at only 22, I think she has a lot to offer. Fatima, the Archangel Klein, check her out on Instagram, man. You know, she does a lot of grappling. She goes to that Medusa tournament. She's grappled with some of the best of them, you know, Demopolis. What's her name? Ariana Melendez, I've seen before. Who else is in there? Just a lot of them. Just a lot of different grappling matches she's been doing. And, you know, she's up there. You know, she works with Aaron Blanchfield and them now. So she's definitely, I think, somebody that the UFC is going to have their eye on. But keep pushing into the strawweight division for Fatima. I think she can win that belt. Oh, yeah, yeah. Fatima Klein can win the strawweight belt for Invicta FC. I think that's the path she needs to do. At 22, keep fighting for Invicta. Keep doing the grappling matches. And then win the belt in Invicta FC. And you'll see, like, a well-rounded fighter into the UFC for sure. So keep an eye on her, y'all. She's a dog. At 2-0, you know, she's working. Dangerous. Killer. All right. Two other fighters I'm a fan of, still early in their career too, and I've seen them fight for Invicta, PAWFC. Autumn Norton, Maria Jujic, they actually fought each other, and man, they put on a banger. I mean, Autumn Norton is showing a level of head movement you don't see on a high level. You know, only got like two or three fights as a pro, and she is very slick in there. You know, she's slick. You know, good calf attack, good right hand. I mean, when these two fought, they were throwing down. I mean, Maria, she's a good stand-up fighter, good solid jab, you know, good tie skills. Very exciting. You know what I mean? Like I said, still early to tell for both fighters, but they're warriors. You know, they go in there and throw down. I enjoy them. Autumn Norton, slick. She's a slick talker in there. You know, she moves her head and just be throwing in bombs. She'll step back and taunt you a little bit, come back with some more offense. Same with Maria Jujic. When I seen her 2-3 fights. Very, you know, very tough, durable, and good straight punches. You know, good straight strikes as well. You know, so these are two fighters I'm definitely, you know, I enjoy watching and want to see more from. All right. And y'all heard me talk about this young lady. Shout out to Melissa Scarecrowden. You know, saw her hit the scene last year. It was like a year or two ago. I seen her fight for, I think it was like Titan FC. Did some videos on her, you know, like, yeah, about a year ago. And I was watching her back then, man. And I was like, you know what? This girl's got something, you know, as a strawweight. You know, she's, excuse me, not strawweight, bantamweight. As a bantamweight, you know, she seems to like be bringing some well-rounded tools here. And that was just last year. But seeing her attack PAWFC the way she did and win that belt, and the approach she took to win the bantamweight belt, I was impressed. I mean, we could talk about the level of competition, but just look at how she approached it. Like, you don't even see like a lot of pros, I mean, high level fighters approach the way she did, you know, where they mix up their striking. You know what I mean? Like, the punt selection, the kick selection is always different. The feints are there. The range is there, you know, not just getting carried away throwing bombs. Like, she'll fight behind a jab, fight behind a body kick, and then mix it up. Boom, boom. You know, you don't know what's coming. So Melissa Crowden, 31, I think, you know, she's bringing some very good skills to the game. And with this belt, the PAWFC, we'll see if she defends it. But if not, you know, there's always at 4-1, there's always room for growth. At Invicta FC, ooh, her and Tanisha Tennant, that would be a fight for the bantamweight belt. That would be crazy, man. Yeah, but Melissa Crowden got size to her too. You know, she's 5'10, you know, kind of wide, you know, big legs, you know, she's powerful kicks, 70-inch reach. And like I said, she's 4-1, but technically, I think she's 5-0, because much like Tanisha, there was a fight that didn't go her way. It was a split decision win, like I said, like last year, because I covered that fight. It was like Titan FC. And, you know, I reached out to her. You know, I was like, I thought you won that fight. You know, we talked. She hit me back. Shout out to Melissa. You know, she follows me now on IG. I follow her. She might be one of the fighters I get, you know, try to reach out for an interview, you know, one day, you know, when I get back into doing it, you know. But yeah, definitely would like to talk to her, you know, because I think, you know, like I said, she's bringing that style that I'm a fan of. Good stand-up game, you know, just well-rounded, you know, good takedown defense. All of that you can see early on. Of course, we'll see how it transitions to better competition. But I like to see her in Invicta FC, and I like to see her fight Olga Rubin. I like to see her get that common opponent with Tisha and see what happens there, you know. Yeah, I like to see, yeah, Melissa Crowden versus Olga Rubin in Invicta FC, or versus Serena De Jesus. That's a good fight. Yeah. But speaking of the Invicta FC champion, Tanisha Tennant, this is another fan. This is another fighter I'm a fan of, you know, Tanisha Tennant. You know, another prime technical fighter. You know, I've been talking about over here for a while now. And y'all know how I feel about her. She's 5-1. Also in her 30s, like Melissa Crowden, she's 33. And I think she brings a lot to the table. You know, I think that she brings patience, technique, discipline. And some people might think that's boring. Like, they think that with Valentina Shevchenko. But, you know, I think Tanisha Tennant, you know, has a lot to offer to one day be in the UFC. You know, with the UFC still not signing her, I think it's a blessing, because she can still take time to grow here in Invicta FC. You know, defending her belt a few months back, it was a close fight. It just shows you maybe, you know, she needs to work on a few things here and there. But I think overall, maybe her getting a little bit more muscular and putting on a little bit more physical strength, that would help push her down, you know, push her forward in more of these fights. But stand-up game, I think, is very good. You know, I like her surgical stand-up, you know, good time leg kicks. Some of these shots don't look hard, but they're very precise with her. You know, the body shot she landed on Olga Rubin, the jab she's throwing, the leg kick she's landing on Danielle Wolf. She does a lot of damage. People just don't understand because they want to see knockouts. But this girl has a very underappreciated style, man. Like, I just don't understand. It's a very good style. Like I said, I love breaking these fights down, man. You know, like, people don't understand Kaitlyn Chookagian. I like, you know, Kaitlyn Chookagian is another good fighter. You just got to really understand what they're doing in there. Stop looking for blood and knockouts. But, you know, Tanisha Tennant, I think she'd be a nice addition to the UFC for bantamweight. That's a weight she could make. You know, she wouldn't have trouble making it because she's not a featherweight. So why not give her a shot? But until then, you know, I'm going to enjoy watching the fights wherever she is. You know, like I said, when I want to watch a good technical stand-up fight, Tanisha Tennant is it. So shout out to Tanisha Tennant. All right. And guess who? Here we go again, y'all. Yes, sir. We talking about another fighter that should have been signed to the UFC. Teresa Bleda. Standing at 5'9", 71-inch reach. Tall, big flyweight. Only 20 years old. 6-0. Young beast in the game that dominated on the Contender Series but didn't please Dana White for whatever reason. But anyways, Teresa Bleda, this is a young lady I've been watching for a minute since her Octagon amateur fights, you know, and I've been impressed. You know, I'm impressed with her physical strength. I'm impressed with her, you know, her overall execution, her movement to get takedowns. Her grappling's good. Her clinch game is good. Inside fighting is good. Her striking still needs improvement from the outside. You know, she's only 20 years old. She's still getting a grasp of her boxing and kickboxing. But when her hands do land, you know, they're good. They're okay. You know, she has a few. I think she only got like one stoppage, but she got more submission wins. So I don't know why Dana White went in thinking that she was going to be some type of striking machine. You know, she's, you know, I think she's gotten more people down and out grappled more people than she has, like, just committed to knocking people out, right? And you know what, I've seen what she could do against, you know, a veteran like Lucy Pudilova, even at a young age. That had me, you know, wide open to her, just to say, wow. You know, I think her amateur debut was like back in 2017, which would make her what? Let me see. She was born in 2001. Yeah, 16. So she started fighting 16, like old girl from Yasmin Lucindo. So she's a young buck too, man. So I'm saying these girls, they shouldn't be punished because of their age. They started off fighting at a young age. You know, they've been racking it up, man. You know, Teresa Bleda started at 16 years old in the amateurs, and by 19 was taking on Lucy Pudilova in an exhibition match and beat her. Of course, it wasn't like this dominant performance, but she still won. You know, 17 years old, beating an ex-UFC fighter, that's impressive, right? And then you go on a 6-0 win streak and started in 2020, which, let me see, 2020, which is still 2020, is 19. Yeah, made her professional debut at 19. You know, professional debut at 19 and fought three times in the amateurs in 2020, so before she transitioned into professional realm. So she's been on the grind, man, since 16, 17 years old. And of course, before that, because, you know, she was still a young kid training. But now, like, this girl fighting at this high level just shows you that, you know, she can be a beast. So it was a blessing in disguise that she didn't get signed. You know, I'm not really mad that she didn't get signed anymore, because it's just gonna give her a chance to get better and then eventually get there. And eventually, you know, become a monster for the flyweight division, because that's what they really do need. Like, we just don't need promising fighters. We need monsters in the flyweight division. Somebody that people can actually say, this girl is going to give Valentina trouble. You know what I mean? So give her time to grow, and that's fine. Shout out to Teresa Blader. Who else? That's crazy, man. The UFC just signed Jacqueline Amram, who's 5-0. Again, they just look at finishes, but when you look at somebody like Teresa Blader, I see a little bit more growth in Jacqueline there, man. I see somebody who's, it's hard to explain. We'll talk about it in another video, but yeah, this is one of the fighters that, you know, I got my radar on. All right. And some other fighters, you know, I look at, you know, I like Sam Hughes. I like her style. That's why, you know, I go to bat for when people try to talk trash about her. You know, I like Sam Hughes. You know, she's a growing fighter. You know, even watching her early in LFA, very good striking at that level. It was the wrestling that she's really putting together, and she's been putting that together now with her training team, with a new team now. She's been making the right improvements. Some of the losses you can question, like the Pinheiro loss. I thought she won that fight. Loma Labubny, that was a fight where she started picking up her rhythm in. She lost it, but you saw she started picking her rhythm in that fight, right? Then she beat Estela Nunes and Elise Reed. So people are kind of knocking her, but because of the resume. But if you look at it and analyze it, Sam Hughes is a good fighter. You know, that's why I've been breaking it down, telling people, look, Sam Hughes is a good fighter. I see something in her. You know, she's a fighter that if you put it together, she'll be one that'll break into the top 10 with one of those like Cinderella stories. Like, oh, had a rough start, and then boom, here she is, because she learned on the job. She improved and just got better. You know, she just said, okay, this is what I got to do. If I got to change teams, I'm going to change teams. That's what it is. So, you know, Sam Hughes getting better with her wrestling. It's looking good, especially when she used it on Elise Reed. Ground and pound is good. Her straight strikes are on point. Y'all got to go back and look at that Demopoulos fight. You know, the Estela Nunes fight. Her straight punches are good. It's just all about letting it go. And I think moving forward for Sam Hughes, pump that jab out, cut these girls up. Your jab is one of the best on this level. Got the good right hand. Got to let these hands go, you know. So Sam Hughes, definitely one, you know, I've been looking at like for like 2 years. Just exciting, like I said, whether they have a belt or not. There's something about them I like. And yeah, look at the resume. People think, okay, you lost your first three fights. She ain't nothing. But look at the fashion how she lost. Did she really lose to Luana Pinheiro? Like, did she really get dominated by Loma Labubny? Not at all, man. Just go back and look. Tisha fight, that's different. Tisha, you know, she's the veteran, so that's an excuse. You know, we can give her a pass for that. But the other ones, you know, I said, look, she did well in them. She did well. Definitely looking forward to her next fight here against Pierre Rodriguez. So, yeah, shout out to Sam Hughes too, man. Fighter I look at, Brittany Cloudy. Just all these fighters out here, you know, that's putting on exciting matches, win or lose, whatever the ranks are. And as long as they're working hard and they respect the sport, right? So, yeah, and y'all know my big fighters I look at, the UFC fighters, exciting fighters I like in the UFC. The Marina Rodriguez's, Manon's, of course, Tyler's, Zhang Weili, Andrade, all of them fighters, Aaron Blanchfield, all of them fighters. If they work in and they expect to grind, most of the ones that move in silence, like these four, you know, I mean, I like the trash talkers too, but if y'all look at most of the fighters I'm following, notice that they don't talk a lot. Notice they move in silence. Notice that they speak with action. All right. Notice that it's about action with these fighters, like Marina, Manon, Tyler, Whaley. They don't do a lot of talk. Don't talk a bunch of trash. It's translated through their hands and their actions. So yeah, y'all know these are just some of the fighters that, you know, I enjoy watching. So yeah, man. Yeah, definitely. You know, these are the fighters that keep me loving the sport of WMMA. And that's what it is. But let me know in the comment section who y'all like, man. This is just me. This is mine, man. Going down that list again. You see them. You see them. Be on the lookout for Fatima Klein, Autumn Norton, Maria Jujic, Melissa Croton, Tanisha Tennant, Teresa Blader, like I said, Sam Hughes. And y'all know these four, right? So yeah, man, that's about it for me, guys. Been on here for about 90 minutes. Like I said, this was the 100th episode, so I want to do something special for y'all. This is a pre-recorded episode, so, you know, if y'all talking in the chat, I'll come back and look at it. But you know what it is, man. I'm always tuned into the lives and everything. But yeah, man, look for another 100 episodes from me, man. You know, I'm gonna try to get back on my grind and do one a week if I can. I'm gonna keep coming with the topics, you know, the news and whatever y'all want me to talk about. If y'all have suggestions on a topic y'all want me to discuss on a podcast episode, let me know. Just let me know and we can talk about it. You know, I'll talk about it. But yeah, looking to do them, trying to get them down to once a week again if I can. But until then, you know, I'm always here. So final thoughts. I enjoyed doing this. Hashtag CB99 Talks. You know, shout out to everybody always tuning in to give me a little over 1,000 subs now. And I keep on rocking. Looking to do another 100 episodes and just keep y'all in the loop. And yeah, like I said, I'll consider getting fighters back on again. You know, it's like I said, it's by choice. I'll consider doing interviews again. You know, it's just, you know, kind of hectic sometimes because you always got to cancel, reschedule, and just be on at the same time. And, you know, my schedule will be off sometimes. So we'll see. We'll try to do something though. The fighters I'm more cool with and I communicate with, we can kind of get on the same page. So you might get them fighters again, you know. But yeah, that's it, guys. Like always, subscribe to the channel, Combo Breaker 99. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. Tuned in and all of that. And yeah, like always, let me know what y'all think about what I discussed today. And keep on coming back, guys. Combo Breaker 99. Happy 100. I'm out. Subscribe. Peace.